Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 255.
Today we have a note from Kelson, which is a name I have not heard since I read the book Earth Search by James Follett, which is a fantastic and deeply weird science fiction novel. If you're into weird science fiction, I highly recommend it. Anyway, Kelson says, I'm creating a few alien species for a science fiction story I'm writing. I want them to be relatable, but at the same time be truly a part of the grand other. Are there any tricks to finding that balance? Well, it's going to depend on your story what the right balance is, but as I've alluded to in the deep characterization series that is continuing here for at least another 5 episodes, you want to start your deep characterization by looking at the biology. All the things about your alien species are going to flow from their basic biology. Their biology is going to define in them a set of drives, compulsions, needs, and propensities that are going to set the range of potential behavior for their species. That range can be incredibly broad, as it is with humans. It can be incredibly narrow, as it is with certain subspecies of ants. Nonetheless, that will set the range of options they've got available to them. It will also start to define their conflict lines, you know, whether that conflict is between the individual and the group, or between the rational and the passionate mind, or between predatory and social drives, or between asociality and solidarity. Think about the kinds of things that are rooted in their basic biology that'll push them to where they are. Now, the things that make them relatable are their needs and desires. No matter how alien those needs and desires are, every human understands what it's like to have needs and desires. So if you make it clear what is driving them, and you, at least in your own head when you're characterizing them, remember that the things driving them are like the things that drive you, even if they're not the same things. The feeling of being driven, let's say, for example, that this alien species of yours has 10 legs and depends desperately on chalk, and they have to roll themselves in chalk in order to maintain their carapaces. Well, that would be like the way we depend on water to maintain our bodies. So they would have a thirst for the chalk rolling, and it would drive them out of their mind with chalk lust, eventually, if they weren't able to roll in chalk. And your human characters can understand that, they can relate to it, because they know that being thirsty is a little unpleasant, but being thirsty for 4 or 5 days in a row is enough to make them murderously out of their mind with crazed, nutcasey hallucinations and delusions. I mean, it's a low-level thing, but it gives you the idea, anytime you've got a need or a desire, you've got a point of sympathy that you can have access with. Now, those needs and desires that they've got that are rooted first in their biology and then in their culture, culture always comes as a consequence of biology, because biology sets the range of potential behavior, and culture is a way of meeting the needs of biology within the context of an economy. Whether that economy is ecological or monetary or social, an economy is the interaction of different autonomous agents seeking their own ends in order to alleviate problems of scarcity. So your aliens are interacting on whatever level they interact in an economy, and that economy creates culture. Culture arises to serve economic needs, and then it shapes the way that the economy behaves. There's a feedback loop there. And everything sort of arises step by step from that, with feedback loops at every cycle. So start off thinking about your alien's basic biology, and then start making intuitive leaps. Well, what if they meet this need this way? What would that imply about these other parts of their culture? Well, what range do you have for individual differentiation in this kind of situation? Are they a fully social species with more or less identical thought patterns, or are they wildly divergent individuals that think in radically different ways about almost everything? And how radical do those differences get? Do they get so radical that you can't tell just based on the thought patterns what species they're from, or do they stay within a narrower range and just very radically within that range? And then how do you flavor that with individual experience and emotional makeup and all that sort of stuff? All of these things are ways that you take an alien from being a phenomenon to being an animal to being a person. It's exactly the way that humans go from being phenomenological to animalistic to people. You build up from phenomenon to animal to person. And then you make the social connections between the aliens and the aliens and the humans, and the aliens and the readers. And built up that way, you can have aliens that are spectacularly, unbelievably, Cthulhu-esquely alien, where they're utterly incomprehensible, and yet still have them be memorable, potent forces in a story, even potent personalities, though personality may in fact be an artifact of human cognition. They can still leave the sense of a personality on your readers in the same way that the weather seems to have a personality to primitive peoples who have not yet apprehended the way the weather works as a system. Humans are prone to projecting our psychology onto everything, because if something we're interacting with has intentionality, we can deduce that intentionality and work to propitiate it or avoid it or figure out what it's going to do and construct our own strategy to either work in concert with it or win its affection or avoid its wrath. And those of us that made the mistake of not assuming that the rustle in the bush was a tiger were more likely to be eaten than those of us who mistakenly assumed that the rustle in the bush was a tiger when in fact it was the wind. And chances are any species that comes up in a predatory environment where they are not the apex predator all the way through, as we weren't, is going to have that propensity to misattribute intentionality. Of course, if they were the apex predator all the way through, that would probably result in a completely different psychology. And it would be fun to see that explored. I don't think I've ever seen that explored before. Anyway, I'm now just musing idly off into the tulies here, so hopefully you find that helpful. It's a really, really great question. So thank you for sending it in. Send in any others that you've got. And I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.